Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Can I just give you a few reasons why, a few things that are different this time around? Number one, Pat Mahomes is 100% healthy. He wasn't in that game, you could tell. So you've got a 100% Patrick Mahomes. You've got to think that's going to impact things.
Yeah.
The Texans don't have Deshaun Gibson, who covers tight ends really well. Guess what the Chiefs have? One of the best of them. And now you're going to have to find another way to try to slow him down. And you're not going to stop him, but you've got to be able to slow him down and make it reasonable, right? Now, guess what? That's something that's missing also.
Jake Fromm declares for the draft, which is, I'm going to go surprising.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, Jake Fromm didn't do any favors for his stock this year, I don't think.
I don't know what to make of him. I think he just has that feel of a guy who's going to be a backup quarterback in the league.
Oh, certainly. I think his ceiling is what A.J. McCarron's been so far.
Yeah, and I don't think he's as good as A.J. McCarron.
I don't think he's as good as A.J. McCarron either.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975, you can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Just find ESPN975.com and click on Twitch, or go to, if you're already on Twitch, maybe you're watching a gamer kick some ass and you want to switch over, go to ESPN975.com. And if you missed the first 2 hours,
it's crazy. We're already through 2 hours.
I know, man. It's kind of,
today's going by really fast.
It is flown by really fast. And it's been a fun show on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And I just feel good having my computer back and actually feeling like I'm, you know, not having to be able to keep up with everything, not having to borrow Aaron's computer and worried about, oh, man, I better log off of my Gmail, because if he gets on there, starts, you know,
get all your porn passwords.
You know, just some of these women that email me about stuff. And, you know, all right. But, yeah, it's been, I feel really good today. It's been a fun show, and we've still got an hour left. We're going to kick ass with it. We'll get to some of your phone calls here in a second, but I wanted to, I hate giving these guys attention, and so I probably shouldn't have said who it was last hour. I probably should have just said it rhymes with Mip Kalis.
Yeah.
But I'm just, there are times when I get that what these guys are paid for is to just have hot takes about everything, but I just hate when they do these shallow, half-ass, you know, hot takes. And I know he can't watch every game, but here's what he tweeted out. Can someone please explain to me what Matt Rhule, misspelled by the way, ever did to deserve to be an NFL coach? He had a 31-10 halftime lead at home over Oklahoma and lost. Lost to OU in the Big 12 title game, Georgia in a bowl. Oh yeah, he was the Giants' assistant O-line coach for a year. Rhule was a media creation. That's his tweet.
He's mad because Matt Rhule didn't go to the Cowboys.
Probably. I don't know. But honestly, is that all you watched, was the Oklahoma games and the Georgia game? Did you not watch that team all year?
And think about the talent that they had on that roster and the fact that they, I don't remember exactly what they were picked. I'll look it up while we're talking. But I know they weren't picked to finish very high in the Big 12.
No, and to me, great coaching, and the reason I didn't think they had a chance to get in the playoffs is they had so many close games. But guess what? The teams they beat in those close games had talent equal to theirs, or maybe even better in some cases. That's good coaching, man.
Yeah.
And if you watch Baylor at all, I mean, all of those schemes are going to play fine at the NFL level. I just think it's the kind of thing where, oh, I saw two games, so this is what I'm going to judge it on. Oklahoma had twice the talent that Baylor had.
Baylor was picked sixth in a 10-team conference.
And, man, that was a well-coached team that played hard. I don't get it. I don't get it.
No, I'm with you. I think that this guy is a really good coach. I think he's going to do good things. And you know what? Sometimes you got to take a chance. And also consider that he took a team that was not death penalty, but close to it. And his first year at Baylor, they were 1-11. I mean, they couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, and
then the next year, They make a bowl game, win a bowl game, and then this year they played for a Big 12 title. That's a 3-year turnaround from 1-11. Basically, your program was kicked to the curb, thrown out with the garbage, and you brought them to playing for a Big 12 championship. That's what's he done?
And not just okay. him. I saw another story. Which, oh well, his record at Baylor was average.
Yeah, over the course of 3 years, sure. Because you have to take yeah, that into account 1-11. That 1-11 year. But remember what the Baylor football program was when he took over. I mean, it was, everybody was kicked out. It was gone. It was poof. Start, like, reset. And to have it in 3 years to where it was this year, that's impressive. I don't care what you think. And, you know, I was one of the guys who was saying that, you know, just turn Baylor football off.
Yeah, get them out of there.
Get it out of here. Just tell them they're not allowed to play football anymore because they were fighting so hard to keep Art Briles, even though it was painfully obvious what he knew, and they didn't want to admit it. But then they did. They got him out of there, and they basically said, we're getting out everybody who had anything to do with this, and it was a clean sweep. And at some point, and by the way, there weren't many of the players left, and they didn't have the cupboard was pretty bare in 2017. But I started thinking, there's no reason to punish guys that are going to go to Baylor going forward. You've cut the cancer out, and Matt Rhule blossomed it. I mean, to take it from what they were to where they are this season, I don't know how you can say Matt Rhule didn't do a good coaching job at Baylor. That's dumb.
Yeah, somebody says they almost lost to Rice. Yeah, they did almost lose to Rice. They weren't that much more talented than Rice. You got to look at the big picture, the whole thing. I mean, yeah, that fine. If that's your standard, if you're going to pull out the two Oklahoma games in Georgia, if you're the media guy, or if you're going to pull out the Rice game and say the guy can't coach, all right.
Have at it.
I mean, two 10-win seasons at Temple. Asking for a friend said, not defending, but Rhule was 0-11 all time against top 25 teams. Not my guy.
Again, what did he have on his team that made you think he should have been beating top 10 teams? He took D-level talent and put them up to a B-plus level. I'll take that.
Yeah, to me, that's good coaching. I mean, that and everybody goes, well, what title did he win? That Baylor's not going to win a national championship. He damn near got him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they belonged, but clearly Oklahoma didn't either. All right, let's try some calls. Aggie Joe, what's up?
Playoffs. Yeah, no, I don't think.
Turn your radio down, Aggie Joe.
Yeah, sports, guys.
Sports.
Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you about the Astros situation with these sanctions that are about to come down and them being so far against the cap, or I mean not cap but luxury tax or whatever it is. I kind of feel like maybe they should look at trading away some of these pieces and try to get a quick rebuild, like the Greinke and Verlander. Those are two good pieces that you could get enough back to help with a fast turnaround, I think. Like, I would even trade Correa, whatever you could, except for I would keep Altuve, Tucker, Bregman, and this way you clear up a bunch of cap space and you can re-sign Springer for the future. I just think it makes a lot more sense because you're going to be without AJ Inch for a while.
Well,
it just seems to me like it'll make sense to dump this money and get rid of these older guys and get a quick turnaround. Well, hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I don't know if what you're saying really works because you're talking about clearing out older guys to do a rebuild, but then in the same sentence you say re-sign 31-year-old George Springer. So I don't know where you're trying to take the franchise. As far as I can tell, the window's still open for this team. Losing AJ Hinch is not like losing, a head coach in football, okay? It's
It's not going to make any difference.
Yeah, if the talent's there, they're going to be fine. I don't think the Astros need to trade away. I mean, if you trade away Verlander and Greinke, who's pitching for you next year? Like, what's your rotation look like? And is it even remotely competitive? As long as you've got Verlander and Greinke, you're in it. You've got a shot. What I've heard, they may be going out and trying to get a Mike Clevinger. You know, I don't know what they'd have to give up to get it. We talked about it on Sports Map. I'm guessing it's Forrest Whitley plus. But it'd be worth it because you've got 3 years of control left on Mike Clevinger, and that's a guy who can play. I think what they need more than a rebuild are more guys who can play right now. Like, you need to refill what, you know, Josh Reddick was. You need to refill that.
I think that you kind of have covered, assuming Tucker replaces him. I mean, that's
a big assumption.
You know, it's not like Reddick gave you that much production. It's not like Tucker has to be much to match that. And
I'm saying I wouldn't trade away big veteran pieces.
No,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll tell you the time to make that phone call is if we get close to the trading deadline and they're 10 games out of the lead in the AL West for some reason.
Yeah.
And they've had some injury issues at that point. Then, yeah, I would listen to that because, you know, then you would be in a sell mode. But they shouldn't be in a sell mode right now. They can still listen. They're probably not winning the World Series, but they're still one of the top two or three contenders in the American League for it.
Yep.
And a lot can happen over the course of the season, as we saw last year when the Yankees lost everybody. So, I mean, plus, as a fan, do you really want to sit through another rebuild here?
I don't.
I mean, you went through 100 lost seasons so you could get a team that's at this level. And, you know, there's no guarantee that if you got, and we talk about prospects all the time, there's no guarantee if you'd go trade a bunch for a bunch of prospects that they're any good in a year or two.
And I got to be honest. I mean, and you said trade anybody who's not named Altuve, Bregman, or Tucker. Justin Verlander is more important than any of those guys at this point. As far as, like, if you're going to win a World Series, you could take Alex Bregman off this team tomorrow, and as long as Verlander and Greinke are still there, you can contend. You can take Altuve off. As long as Verlander and Greinke are there, you can contend. If you take Verlander and Greinke off and you keep all those position players, you're probably not winning much. I'll be honest. You're definitely not winning in the playoffs.
I agree. And, you know, you shouldn't go in being in sell mode right now. That just doesn't make a ton of sense. So I would hope that, you know, the only time to have that discussion is if everything falls apart and you get to the trade deadline and you're clearly not going to win anything this year. Then, yeah, absolutely. I'm fire selling everybody.
What's up, Miles?
What's up, fellas? How are y'all?
Sports.
Nice. Hey, I wanted to talk a little college hoops real quick. Get y'all's opinion on what teams you think could be like this year's Texas Tech. Like, I'm looking at Georgia with the number one pick over there, and San Diego State and Wichita State, you know, with really good records right now. It's pretty early, but, you know, I want to get y'all's opinion on that.
So I guess you're talking about kind of not national brand teams that could actually make a splash. There's three that jumped to mind for me. One is Butler, who has continued to just look like they're the best team in the Big East, which is saying something. Seton Hall's good. Villanova's good. Marquette's good. Xavier's good. Butler's the best team in the Big East. So they play a really intense style of defense, and they can shoot enough. They remind me of Purdue last year a little bit. The other ones, I would say Baylor is in that conversation. Legit defensive team who can get some offensive firepower going. The other team is Dayton. I like Dayton a lot. And if you haven't watched, their offense is about as fun to watch as anybody. So those are the teams that I'd be looking at if you're looking for someone who's not a blue blood to make a run this year. Those are some teams that I've looked at. I think West Virginia is good, although they're going to struggle to score when it really matters. And I think Oregon's good. You know, so there's some teams out there like that. But yeah, as usual, though. But it's this year. I shouldn't say as usual, because this year, I mean, there's probably 25 teams right now that you told me they're going to win the national title. It wouldn't shock me.
It's funny that you mentioned Butler because we were talking about them off air, and you know, I was asking you where you had them power ranked because they've been really impressive so far.
Fifth.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
and yeah, so Ty Stamper on Twitch wants to know, what are the odds Joe Judge lasts more than one season? I'll give him 80% chance of getting into year two.
I'd give him more than that.
And I'll give him 10% chance of surviving year two. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, I have to tell you about Lightstream. And if you want to save some money and maybe start to get those credit card bills from the holidays and you want to lower the interest rate on your credit card debt, you can get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. And, guys, if you've got good credit, Lightstream's a place to go because they're going to reward consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. You can get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Loans anywhere from $5,000 up to $100,000. You can choose your funding date, matter of fact, as soon as today, and it's such an easy process. You can just go on your phone and do it while you're listening to us. And right now, Blitzers will get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but I know it's not 5.89%. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for more information.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.com. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. People enjoying the college hoops talk. Somebody says, can you ask A.J. about Washington men's hoops?
Washington is one of those teams that I like sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, what the hell is that?
They've got some good big men.
They do.
I mean, I've only seen them once when they played UH, but they were impressive up front.
After that UH game, really, they didn't have a bad loss to that point. They lost to Tennessee early in the year on a neutral site, and that's when Tennessee had Lamont Turner. They lost to Gonzaga, and actually they played Gonzaga pretty well. You know, all things considered, nobody's beating Gonzaga, really, and they played them within double digits, within single digits. I mean, UH beat them, and then they lost to UCLA, which, and that was at home. You cannot lose to that UCLA team at home, and they just turned me off, and they beat the snot out of USC the other day. I think I'll know more about UW tomorrow. They play Stanford tomorrow in what should be a pretty close game. So if they lose that game, I might just move on from Washington.
Okay. Well, there you go. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in.
I didn't expect to talk UW hoops today.
No, that's all right. It's something a little different.
Lamont. Sports to you, Lamont.
Hey, what's up, man? I was going to talk about the Patriots, but I just thought about something else I wanted to talk to you guys about. And I'm not saying that you guys are doing it, and I'm just talking in general. But I hear a lot of people saying that it's the common thing to say that Patrick Mahomes has more weapons than Deshaun Watson around him. And I keep doing the math, man. Well, what I see is Tyreek Hill and
Travis Kelce. Yeah, I don't think he's got significantly more weapons.
Deshaun Watson, I see DeAndre Hopkins, and I also see Hyde, and I also see Steeles. I see I know that those are not household names or anything like that, but it just seems like just to say that he has more weapons, if we just really, really talking about weapons, Patrick Mahomes has some weapons. But I don't think that Watson is, you know, that far from behind. We're being surrounded by weapons.
Yeah.
I don't see anything special about the Kansas City Chiefs running game at all. It's all predicated on that wide receiver and that tight end. Sammy Watkins and the other little guys, you know, those are throw-ins and stuff, but I don't see anything special about his weapons to the tune of that he just got way more weapons than the Texans. And that's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, the Chiefs don't have way more weapons on offense than the Texans. What they've got, unless you count having a head coach as a weapon, I mean, Andy Reid has been a significantly better offensive coach than Bill O'Brien has. So that's a weapon. But yeah, I think that the Texans don't have this, but what the Chiefs have is a team that's built for their quarterback. They've got deep threat receivers for a quarterback who's got an arm that's unmatched in the league. Their running backs aren't a big deal, but they use their running backs differently than most teams. They're not looking to like run between the tackles all the time. And they've got a good offensive line. You know, they've probably got the best set of tackles in football in Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. So they don't have a ton of, you know, they don't have a ton of weapons per se. The Texans are right there with them. I agree. The Texans they're not at some big disadvantage as far as what wide receivers they've got or what running backs they've got. I mean, obviously, Travis Kelce against any other tight end in the league is
right.
But it's you could say the same thing. Tyreek Hill's not on the same level of player as DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I think Watson has the best weapon in Hopkins. I just think the combo of Hill and Kelce is probably better than Hopkins plus who's your second guy.
Yeah.
But running back-wise, I think they're the same guys. And, you know, Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy are – I don't think they're any better than Hyde and Johnson. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where that started.
Watkins, Mecole Hardman. I mean, it's...
Yeah, Hardman's okay, but...
Those guys, I mean, they're no better than Fuller and Stills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the big edge I see is at tight end, but they use their tight end more than anybody.
Now, the big edge I see is head coach.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the big difference between these two offenses.
Well, and
let's be honest.
Patrick Mahomes is better than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, guy threw for 50 touchdowns last year and won the MVP.
And that's not a knock on Deshaun, but...
Patrick Mahomes right now is...
There's not a lot of guys that I feel 100% confident saying is better than Deshaun Watson. Patrick Mahomes is on the short list.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can look at that guy at this point and... say anything other than, hey, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best. And Lamar Jackson had a better year, but who would you rather have going forward?
Right.
And, you know, I do think he benefits from having a better play caller at head coach, though. I do think if Deshaun Watson had Andy Reid, he'd have much better numbers. Maybe not Patrick Mahomes' numbers, but he'd have pretty good ones.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Two of them here in like 5 minutes. What the hell?
One was with a phone caller. That was super embarrassing.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Longhorn Dimitri asks, what are the odds Will Fuller is a Texan next year? I don't think they'll move on from him next year, but I don't expect him to be back after that. It doesn't really cost them that much to keep him.
Yeah.
So... So he said ESPN did the top quarterbacks left in the playoffs and they had Deshaun seventh behind Tannehill. Thoughts? I don't buy that. If somebody did that at ESPN, then they're just trolling you.
Who would they have? I'm trying to think how I would rank them.
Well, give me Russell Wilson one.
I think I'd go Russ one. I'd probably go Mahomes. Well, I don't know.
I'll take Mahomes
or Lamar Jackson.
I'll take Mahomes second, Jackson third.
And what about Rodgers?
Fourth.
Okay. And where do you put the other four?
I take Watson over Cousins, Tannehill, and Garoppolo.
I think I do. Well, I definitely take them over Tannehill and Garoppolo.
Yeah, I'm not as high on Cousins as you are. And I guarantee you, last week was great, but I don't trust him.
I wonder who they had dead last on that list. I mean, that,
it's probably got to be Tannehill, right?
Well, they said Tannehill's ahead of him.
So. Well, I know. That's who's last on my list.
I wonder who ESPN had last.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that list.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
If you got Watson seventh, then there's something wrong with that list fundamentally, I think.
Yeah, I would have him fifth. But,
yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You know, to the caller's point about the Astros earlier, Sportsnet did the five major league teams that could disappoint in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Their list, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay.
The Minnesota Twins.
Certainly.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine them repeating what they did last year.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, people thought that last year, too, and they were competitive again.
The Chicago Cubs.
I do think they'll disappoint.
And your Houston Astros.
I mean, I guess if you think that they're going to be in the World Series again, they might end up disappointing.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think they're going to be looked at as a
favorite. They're not going to win 107 games.
No.
But is that a disappointment if they win 100?
I mean, hell, if they win 90, it's a good season.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody said, I saw the ESPN rankings. Watson was 5. Wilson was 4. That guy is wrong for sure. But I guess I'll have to find those.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Wilson 4th.
No way.
Let's just say I get the 49ers roster, but I get to pick any quarterback.
Yeah.
I'll stick with that. I take Wilson 1, I take Mahomes 2, and then I'll take Jackson 3.
I can't picture Russell Wilson being the 4th out of that group.
Yeah,
that's no way.
Then I take Rodgers, then I take Watson. And then, frankly, the other three you can fight over.
Now, so. ESPN, when they did this before the playoffs started, I can tell you how ESPN ranked them.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson 1.
I'm not going to fault you for doing that.
Russell Wilson 2.
Okay.
No big issues yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight with you over that.
Drew Brees 3.
Okay, let's draw a line through him. He's gone.
Patrick Mahomes 4.
Nothing wrong with that.
Ryan Tannehill 5.
That's ridiculous.
Deshaun Watson 6. Kirk Cousins 7. Carson Wentz 8. Jim Garoppolo 9. Thomas Brady 10. Aaron Rodgers 11.
Yeah, who wrote this just so I can shame them?
And Josh Allen 12. Disrespect to Josh Allen. That is, let me scroll back up to the top. Seth Walder, ESPN Analytics.
Shame.
That's not analytics. When did they start calling dumb takes analytics? I noticed they had some woman on that is apparently some analytics expert to give fantasy advice.
Oh, the porn star.
Is that who that is?
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know who it is. I don't know her name.
I'm pretty sure Lisa Ann isn't an analytics expert.
No, but they're pitching it like she's some analytics expert, and she's just like, here's what I think is going to happen in the game. This guy's going to throw for 200 yards. And it's like,
well, based on her analytics.
Really? Really? If you're a fantasy person, just say, here, this is what I project. Doesn't make you an analytics person. My goodness. 713-780.
Sounds better, though, to be an analytics person.
I guess.
Sounds fancy.
Well, it's funny because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, back in my day, we called them tendencies. In that, you know, what a team's tendencies were. But now it's analytics.
Okay.
But regardless. JPS, what are the odds there will be a 30-for-30 on Notre Dame keeping Will Fuller healthy?
I don't think Will Fuller is meaningful enough to warrant a 30-for-30, unless he, like, unless he eventually kills someone.
Yeah.
There's a Netflix documentary coming out about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'll watch that.
I don't know. I'm not, for some reason, I'm not really interested in Aaron Hernandez.
I am.
I mean, I like guys.
I like murder.
Well, I like murder, but I like guys who committed multiple murders.
I think he might qualify.
I don't know. I feel like that story was, I read everything there is to read about it. There's nothing. See, I like the ones, like the cat one, that I knew vaguely the story, but I didn't know any of the details.
He only killed one person.
I know, but that was fascinating to me. And so I love that, but I pretty much know everything in this Aaron Hernandez story. I've read every possible story. I just don't know what new I can learn. And see, I feel that way about a lot of the 30 for 30s that ESPN does. It's like, you know, I covered those things.
Yeah.
And what are you going to tell me new? One of the ones that I really like was Marcus Dupree, because I remembered that, but it's been so long. There was all the stuff I'd forgotten about him. But for the most part, yeah, it's like, okay, what are you going to tell me new? And I guess I'm not really the target audience for Aaron Hernandez, even if you're 10 years old, you probably have heard of this.
Right.
And you probably read some of it. So, I don't know. I'll wait and see what people I like think of it before I watch it, but I'm just not all that fired up for it. 713-780 ESPN is your number.
This show's flown by.
It has. Didn't the math teacher from Remember the Titans invent analytics?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny because I just remember we'd go through and we'd have pages and pages of what each team we played did on third down, second down, what formations they'd run out of formations and everything like that. And had percentages on it, and we didn't call it analytics
because you guys weren't that smart.
No, we weren't. Well, we went to Lamarck. I mean, that's right. Not like we're smart.
You're country folk.
Which
they got computers now, Fred.
Yeah, well, computers. That would have been that would have been great, man. If I had grown up with computers.
Yeah.
Like by the time I was like almost graduated when I got a Commodore, almost graduated from high school.
Now imagine having an iPad on the sidelines.
I know. I mean, it's an amazing world in which we live, AJ.
Excuse me, a Windows Surface on the sidelines. Oh. Is it Microsoft Surface?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I don't do
Not surfaces. An iPad. I just call it an iPad.
Everything's kind of an iPad. So
if you can watch porn with it on the toilet, it's an iPad.
So my phone counts?
Yeah, I guess.
The phone's a handheld computer.
Where was your laptop? By the toilet?
No,
with
it was
a stack
not.
Of tissues on it.
No.
Gross, Fred.
No, it was. I'll tell you exactly where it. When I get up in the morning and do my sports map stuff, I'm sitting in my chair, and then when I shut it down, I slide it in between like the armrest and the pad that you sit on. I don't know what you call it necessarily, because I don't want the dog messing with it. Because I don't. Okay. If I walk off or something. I don't want to come back and have the dog playing with my laptop, because she's gotten a lot better, and you know, she's over a year old now, so she should be better. But every now and then, she still likes to get into stuff and tear things up, and so I don't want my laptop to be one of those.
That's fair.
But we also
you really do need to control your bitch, though.
Well, we bought one of these things
to
get her to quit barking so much. Where basically you push a button and it makes this really high pitched sound that you can't hear, but the dog does.
Mm-hmm.
She does not like that. I find myself using it for a lot more than just the barking now. It's like, get off of there. Beep. And she stops barking, but she always comes and runs over to me like, don't do that again. Well, get your ass off the damn couch. All right. We're going to take a quick break. There's only one segment left in
this
show.
That's it.
Holy bleep. All right. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. And we'll wrap up What Are the Odds Wednesday the way we do every single week with famous deaths. These are people who have died in the past or this year in the stretch from January 1st through January 8th.
Sorry, it's supposed to be 2nd.
2nd.
Typo on my...
Okay, see, if I'm going to actually read this, kind of need it to be correct, Aaron. Not asking for much here.
Shame.
All right. I haven't heard of half of these, but we'll start with Sonny Bono in 1998 of Sonny and Cher.
R.I.P.
I think in today's world, Cher
I
would
got
get
you, babe.
Top billing, right? It'd be Cher and Sonny.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Although Cher and Sonny doesn't sound as catchy.
No, but...
Sonny and Cher worked.
It did, but that was the 70s. He died skiing at 62. See, I'd like to go skiing again. I used to go every year. But when somebody dies and he's not that much older than I am now...
Yeah, don't
makes
do
me
it.
Wonder. Steve Clark, rock guitarist from Def Leppard, dead at 30. Mm. Boy, Def Leppard had a lot of... You know what? You remember that Beyond the Music that used to be on VH1?
Yeah.
They were like the poster boys for that.
They had bad luck.
Dead guitarist, drummer with one arm. Yeah, and then he was replaced by Vivian Campbell, who you would not let me use in the Deadpool, which to this day I think is, he didn't die, so it didn't matter. Probably saved me some points. Sports figures, Sid Gillman in 2003. Oiler, former Oiler, dead at 91. Don Wilson, Houston Astro, 1975, died of carbon monoxide poisoning at the age of 29.
Jeez, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's how he died.
Yeah, it was. He left his car running in the garage. It was
so suicide.
No, they think he just fell asleep. It wasn't intentional.
Oh, boy.
It was.
But, just a dude having a couple too many pops.
It was only a few months before that. It might have even been the month before that. I went to his pitching camp, and I got pitching lessons from Don Wilson. Pistol Pete Maravich, dead of heart failure at the age of 40 in 1988. Another one that, for some reason, I remember reading that one of the last things he said before he died was, "Man, I feel great." He just played pickup basketball.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I feel great now, I don't want to say it.
Pistol Pete's one of those guys who, the legend of Pistol Pete, is it greater than what Pistol Pete was? You saw him.
I actually, aside here, saw him at Hoffman's Pavilion playing against the Rockets. When there were 8 people in the stands, my dad used to be friends with Daryl Garrettson, the ref, who would come over and talk to him all the time. And I remember, I just don't remember much other than he had terrific hair and he scored a bunch of points.
Yeah.
But I was a kid, so I don't know if the legend was bigger than the player, but he was a pretty damn good player. I didn't get to see him. That's all. I don't get to have an opinion, though, because I was too young. All right. Let's see. Political figures. We've got a couple of dead presidents. 1933, Calvin Coolidge, 30th president, dead at 60. 1919, Theodore Teddy
Calvin
Roosevelt.
Calvin Coolidge fat?
I think he was. Was he a great big fat person? I think he was. Or am I thinking of, there was...
No, he's not fat.
Okay. Who are you thinking of?
Maybe I'm thinking of Chester...
Chester A. Arthur?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I still have to do my president rankings again. Theodore Roosevelt would be up there, dead at the age of 60. In 1919. So, let's see. None of these are any good. Amelia Earhart, who knows? How about Jack Ruby?
Do you know that there are, like, if you were ranking the all-time fattest presidents
yes.
by BMI?
Don't say it. Don't say it. Okay, say it.
It says crunch the numbers, and we find that Trump would be the 3rd heaviest president after William Howard Taft.
Taft is the fat one, yeah.
And Grover Cleveland. He'd come in 6th in terms of BMI. The presidents ahead of him on that list, Taft, Cleveland, McKinley, Taylor, and Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, Teddy was fat.
So,
but he was kind of a cool-looking round dude.
Trump falls under the category of obese, which... Technically, I do, too.
That's not why I'm not going to get on him for that. All right, let's do our best deaths. January 2nd, last year, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Oh, the Oak?
I
remember him from pro wrestling back. He was like the main announcer when I was watching wrestling.
Yeah, he always would interview Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Dead at 76. It's a decent run. 2015.
Pretty decent run considering he spent his whole life in the wrestling business.
Probably true. 2015, Stuart Scott, dead at 49. 1943, Nikola Tesla, dead at 86.
Invented a car.
Did he? Did he? okay, 1324, Venetian explorer, Marco
Polo.
Dead at 69.
That's such a lame joke.
It's awful. 1642, Galileo, dead at 77. That's
Galileo.
That is a hell of a run for 1642. All right, here's your dead porn stars. 2001, Terry Diver.
Is that a male?
It's a T-E-R-I. So
it's a female.
I'm guessing okay. Female. Okay. Oh, you looked her up, didn't you?
Yep.
I'm going to guess...
I have to look all these up for research purposes.
I'm going to guess she was murdered. No, suicide, I mean.
Prescription drug overdose.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Suicide by pills.
1985, Bodil Jensen.
Is that a man or a woman?
That's a woman. She's a Swedish porn star.
Oh, well,
from Sweden.
She died from... She didn't get murdered. They don't murder in Sweden. I'm going to guess she... Car wreck.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
Damn it.
2002, Nadia Childs.
I'm going to go with suicide.
Overdosed on acid and threw herself off a balcony in 2002. You have a winner.
All right.
And 2018, Olivia Nova.
Olivia Nova.
20 years old.
Oh. That sounds like murder by a pimp.
Died of sepsis from a urinary infection.
Oh, at 20?
Yeah.
Eesh, that's not a good run.
No, not at all. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We got late hits coming up next. Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock and Juggalo Trey, who's already walked in there. Great job,
Juggy
Aaron.
Juggy Trey. Juggy Trey.
Great. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.